This is the workshop on personal testimony. This is going to be nice, and we're going to have a good time with this, and it's going to be pretty relaxed. We're not just overly structured. We do have a lot of information on our handout, as you can see, and we're going to fly through a lot of that, but this is going to be pretty hands-on. And so we're going to interact with one another quite a bit, hopefully have a lot of fun with it. So let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll just jump right in. Okay, let's pray it up, Jim. Father, just thank you again for this opportunity to dive into your word, to share some fellowship with some men, to talk about the story of your work in our lives. We just pray that you'd guide us through this time by the presence of your spirit here with us, Lord, that it would be edifying, that it would be glorifying to you as in all we do. And we'd pray it up in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm really glad you're here, guys. See, Brad, he just looked at the handout and then took off.
He's a quick learner.
Yeah. Well, guys, my name is Mark Bella. This is Michael Galvis, who is helping me with this workshop. Just a little bit of info on us. We're from Dallas, and we are lay leaders in a discipleship ministry at our church there and have done that for a number of years. And we utilize what's called the 2-7 series that the Navigators have put together. It's been around for, 30 or more years, and it's tried and true material. And for the most part, what you've got in front of you there on that handout comes from that 2-7 series book. This is material we've used a lot. It's material that we like. It's material that is very helpful. And I hope that you will find it helpful, too, as you look to either begin developing your story, your personal testimony, or as you look to enhance what you've already got in terms of a story of your salvation and your grace. And so that's kind of what we're going to look at here in terms of an objective. But again, just to kind of tell you a little bit about me, one thing I like in particular about KMI, and I hope y'all are enjoying this here at KMI. Anybody here for the first time? That's great, man. That's great. So glad you're here. This is my fourth time in a row, and I hadn't missed it for the last 4 years, and it's going to be on my calendar for every year to come as long as I can come. I just really get a whole lot out of this, and I hope y'all are too. One thing I notice on your pamphlet that you get for KMI, right there on the front, that scripture that we've got, Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And so that's what we look at doing in part when we're developing our story, our testimony. It's a tool that can help us do just that, be a fisher of men. I love to bass fish. And so any of y'all like to bass fish? Oh, no, I like to catch and release bass. I like to eat other kinds of fish, but I love to bass fish. And the thing about that is, if you know a bass fisherman, you know he likes to tell stories about his bass fishing.
Is that what you call
stories? It's all about the story.
Fish story.
And so a fish story that I've got, I want to share with you, and it's one that I really enjoy telling because I get kind of excited about it. And it's a story of a place where my brother and I go. It's on a cattle ranch just outside of Bonham, Texas. And we've been there quite a bit, and it's got a big lake on it. We take our boats, and we fish out on the big lake. But this one particular trip, we decided, you know, there's a pond kind of on the back corner of this property that's about 2 or 3 acres. Let's just go check that out and see what's happening there. So we get out of the boats and drive back to the far corner of the property and get out, and we're fishing from the bank. Now, this particular pond, it's got a lot of grass in it. And from the bank, all the way around it, maybe about 10 feet out, is a grass bed, pretty thick. So any fish we're catching, you know, we're having to reel them in and then kind of pull them, drag them over this grass to get them up to us. Cast out, hook a really nice fish, fight it, get it up, right up to the edge of that grass, and like a lightning bolt out of this tall grass comes this snake. And this snake just clamps right onto the tail of the fish as I'm starting to drag it across the grass. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, what am I going to do? Because this isn't just any snake. This is a cottonmouth water moccasin. And he's intent on doing something to this snake, and I don't want him intent on doing something to me. But at the same time, what I've caught him on is a lure my daughter gave me. I can't just clip my line. I want to keep that lure. I don't want to lose it. And so really without thinking, I'm standing around some rocks. I pick up a rock, and I just fling it and bing that snake right on top of the head. Snake takes off, really in the fish and get the lure, and I'm thinking, probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, because that snake, as fast as it came after that fish, could have come after me like that. But my point in telling you that is, the way I like to tell that story, and as much as I like to share it, I get excited about it. And when we think about something as insignificant and going on a fishing trip and catching some bass, and I get excited about talking about that, you know, how excited do I get talking about something that really matters? And what I'm saying really matters is that's the story of God's work in my life. I want to be excited about that. I want to be fired up and sharing and imparting that truth with other folks. First thing right off I want to emphasize is, man, this is something we ought to be excited about doing and looking at and developing, hopefully enhancing as we use it as a tool, not just to share the work that God's done in our lives in a way that excites us, but that excites other people too. And so we'll talk about that. Now, another thing about me too is I'm really into sports, and we were talking quite a bit of sports here before we got started. And I love basketball. And man, basketball for me was something I played growing up. In particular, at a time in my life at church camp, as one example, I'm there with a buddy of mine. This is a summer between 8th and 9th grade, so right before I started high school. And I'm at church camp, and really for me at that time, it was just about being there and hanging out with my friends, playing some hoops. But this particular camp, I'm there, and I'm sitting the last night of the camp, and the preacher's giving the message, and he offers up the invitation, and this buddy of mine there with Chris, it's like he hits my leg, and I look over at him, and he's got this look in his eyes, and he's the only thing out of his mouth is, "Are you ready? It's time." Now, Chris and I had never had a conversation about anything related to God, nothing remotely close. We're good time buddies, just hanging out, playing hoops. But I knew when I saw that look in his eye, and he said that, exactly what he meant. And I went forward that night, and I accepted Christ, and I became a Christian. But for me, the thing about that was, I go back home, and I've got nobody there to follow up with me. Live with a great family, a really loving family. But we were what you'd call C and E Christians. Christmas and Easter. That's what we were. We were cultural Christians. And so it was real easy for me to slip right back into a lifestyle of pride and ego and living for myself. And what that began to look like for me through high school and college and even on into my adult years and early on in my marriage was an idea that I was in control, that I was the guy who could make it happen. I was the fix-it guy. And it was a struggle with control. What that would routinely manifest as in my life was things would spiral out of control, a sense of frustration, and at times fits of anger. An anger that I would take out primarily on the folks I loved the most. Well, God, in His mercy and His grace, about 11 years ago, decided it was time to show me that I was no longer the guy in control, or at least who I thought I was in control. And through a series of events in my life, some really hard times, especially for my wife and me, some medical issues, the loss of a baby, the loss of a couple of other family members, some medical things that went undiagnosed for my wife, depression, lots of things that happened in a really short period of time, I came to a point where I recognized, I can't fix this. I can't do it. And the one thing that really kind of flipped the switch in and among all of those things was my grandmother was on her deathbed. And my dad calls me up and says, "You need to get on up here." And this, she was in Greenville, Texas, because I think this is it. And so I get in the car and get up to Greenville and get to where she is. And I'm walking in and my dad's coming out of her room kind of shaking his head. "I think she's gone. I think this is it." So I walk in and I'm standing over her and I take her by her hands as she's laying there and I close my eyes and I start to pray and I say, "I know you're going to be in a better place." Well, she squeezes my hands. I open my eyes and I'm looking and she's staring right back at me. And it immediately takes me back to that moment where I looked at my buddy Chris and he told me, "Are you ready? It's time." And I knew right then and there that was the Holy Spirit working through her telling me, "Are you ready? It's time. And it's time to give it over and give it over now and do it completely." So my life changed right there. It was transformation that led me to the realization that God is sovereign and He loves me and He's the one in control. And it was really ironic for me at first, too, to recognize that what I was striving for with my own attempts at control was peace. And the tighter I tried to grab a hold of it and control it, the more it slipped through my fingers. But the more I gave it over to Him, the more peace I found. And so giving it up, I found that peace I was looking for. And I'll tell you, it's not that in my life and with my story that I don't struggle at times still with that control, that pride. But it's a different struggle. And I know I can give it over to the Lord. He brings me that peace. So that's me. It's my story. And I like to share it with y'all up front as an example, and what I hope that, you know, we'll talk about more with respect to all of us as we have time to do that. That's what we'll do. We'll dive into, like I said, this material that we've got here, and you can follow along, but we're going to fly through a lot of this stuff because, like I said, we want to get y'all involved, pen to paper, and then talking about a lot of this as much as we can fit that into our time here. So if you want to look along, our objective here, just right off the bat, what we want to do, we want to help you feel better equipped to share your story of God's work in your life and to do that with others. So we'll talk first, you know, what is a testimony? Well, it's got many names. Your testimony, your personal story, your story of grace, your story of salvation. It's known by a lot of different things, but it's always the same thing. So what is it? It's your story first of what your life was like before Christ, how you came to know Jesus in your life and in your heart, and then what your life looks like now since you've brought Christ or accepted Christ into your heart. Think about how long should it be. Well, there's lots of different versions. You might have a 30-second version that you can share very quickly with somebody. You might have a 4-minute version that gives you a little more time to expand on it. You might have a version that fits 15 or 20-minute time frame. But the idea is here, we want to talk about developing a framework for your story so that regardless of whether you've got 30 seconds, 4 minutes, 15 minutes, you can draw upon that framework that you've developed and make it fit into 30 seconds, 4 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the case may be. But what we're going to talk about here today is the 4-minute testimony. The purpose for it, how Jesus changed me. I want to tell others how it is Jesus came into my heart and changed my life. So the idea, the emphasis here isn't on me necessarily, it's on Jesus. The hero of my story is always Jesus. Can people argue with my story?
You might not believe it.
They can argue, but good luck with all that, okay? Because your story is filled with factual, historical events surrounding how you were completely transformed. No one can dispute that. The transformation that's happened in your life, no one can refute that. I'm not even sure we need to ask this question. Why is it a big deal? Well, of course it's a big deal. And that's part too of why we want to be excited about it. Man, this is huge. This is the biggest thing in your life, is Christ coming into your heart. Yes, sir.
Quick question. I was saved when I was in sixth grade. So my personal testimony about kind of the before and afterwards and all that, mine has tended to be more related to more current type events.
We'll talk about the early childhood saving and turning away and coming back later, and the childhood saving and never turning away, and then the later in life conversion.
We'll definitely hit on that. We're just trying to right now kind of lay some groundwork here just with some material, because we're going to use this material as we get into the worksheet that we've got, and you can refer back to a lot of the information here, but we're definitely going to cover what you're talking about. Kind of an early conversion and then a life of really more of an after as opposed to a lot of before. Is that what you're throwing out? So yeah,
well, my story is I try to challenge people with it. And it's just an event that happened to me a few years back in business. And it ties to a Bible story. And I try to tie the two together and as a challenge.
Okay. And then...
And it's really a challenge of, are you telling your story?
Right. Okay. Yeah, and we're going to hit on that a little bit more. So again, back to the handout, just real quick. Where can we go in the Bible to find an example, a good example of a personal testimony? Bless you, sir. So that's Acts 26. That's just a wonderful example of Paul giving his testimony before King Agrippa. So if you're wondering again, well, why are we focused on the 4-minute testimony? Where we draw that from is if you go through and read Acts 26, Paul's testimony before Agrippa, it'll take you about 4 minutes to read through it. So that's where the 4-minute idea comes from. Now, one of the key components of a testimony, we talked about the before, how, and after. We want to be sure, too, though, that we include a representation, a presentation of the gospel in there. And so a good place to go biblically to find a pretty neat and tidy before, how, and after and presentation of the gospel is also Titus 3, verses 3 through 8. So we've laid that out there for you as well. That next question there, why should I develop my personal testimony? I think the key word in that question is I. Why should I? Okay, we've looked at or considered Acts 26 and Paul giving his testimony, but why should I do that? Well, I think that, you know, our opportunity to go and make disciples of others, the Great Commission, our testimony helps us do that. I know when I hear Michael's testimony, when I hear the testimony of other believers, it's a real encouragement to me. It helps me grow in my own personal relationship and walk with Christ. And so to hear anyone else's testimony, because we're all unique and different to some extent in the way God's worked in our lives, it's always a wonderful encouragement to me. So I think that in terms of discipleship, developing and sharing my testimony can do that. And that point number two, if we're truly intent on loving others, well, a purpose behind sharing my story of God's grace, I think, is a way in which we can love on others, to share truth with them, to share the truth of God's work and salvation is a very loving thing that we can do, and Jesus commands us there to love one another. Third point comes from 1 Peter 3:15, that we would always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that we have. That's a hope that we have in Christ and what He's given us, but to do this with gentleness and respect. I think our story is a way that we can, with gentleness and respect, give that answer, a defense for our faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, and there's a typo there, I think, on your handout. It says 1 Corinthians. That should be 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Does anybody ever think of yourself as a minister? Anyone who is a new creation in Christ, right there, Scripture's telling us we are ministers. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are His ambassadors. And that's a pretty cool opportunity. What an amazing privilege that God gives us to serve as His minister, reconciling a broken world and serving as His ambassador. Our story can help us do that very thing. And so I'll wrap this portion up before I give it over to Michael real quick. That last paragraph under point number four. Many people are not ready to be convinced that they need Christ, but can often be open to talk about the gospel after an inoffensive telling of a salvation story. So again, that gentleness and respect thing. Many people have come to Christ simply because others like you and me have sharpened their story. It's an effective way to prepare to always give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have. We're going to look at how I can go about doing that. We're going to give you some real practical techniques on just how you can go about doing that. And I'll let Michael have the microphone.
I'd like to touch on just a couple of things here on page one, just to kind of go back, because there was one thing that I really think that was important to understand on what is its purpose. We are not telling our life story. That's something that it's taken me a long time to learn. And it's you know, your story is something that is really not something you come up with and it becomes static. It's something that you're going to continue to change. And it's going to grow and God's going to work it out. It's like your story is where you are right now in your walk with God and where you were before, how you met Him and where He's taken you to that point. And 2 years from now, there's going to be changes and you're even going to look back and learn more things and have more insight even through the before, during, how, and after. It is not your life story. It's how Jesus changed your life in the hopes that a non-believer can get to know Jesus better. That's it. And so it's hard to do that because you really want to tell people, this is what I did, this is what I was, and you're going to do a lot of that, but it's always in light of the end result to get them to see what happened to you, how that can happen to them, that they might see how Jesus can change their lives. The hero of your story is Jesus. You just keep that goal in mind. On page 3, in the middle of the page, how can I prepare and sharpen my story? You know, the first thing to do as you're sitting down to begin this process, to really, you know, we've all got a story. We've all told our story. But what we're doing here is, like Mark said, distilling a few key points so that you really become equipped to use it freely with all sorts of people that God's going to intersect in your life. The more you get these basics down, the more freely you'll be able to share that story with people on planes, trains, automobiles, elevators, everywhere, at the checkout stand. And I think that's what Christ has called us to do in the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you till the end of time. So the first thing then is prayer. When we're developing our story, you stop and you got a blank sheet of paper, because this is the beginning for you right now. And you stop and you pray and you just ask God to come into your heart and just to guide your paper. Oh, you have a question?
I've noticed, I know this is kind of stupid, but it's acceptable to mention Jesus Christ or Christian, your glory or Christian stories or biblical stuff on Sundays. It's okay. But Mondays, Tuesdays, no. Wednesdays, maybe Wednesday evenings. I mean, this is just out of the world. I know this is kind of silly, but people are not, the people that I've been around, are not receptive. They're receptive only on Sundays, and maybe on Wednesdays, depending on the situation. It's like Christian radio. It plays not only on Sundays, but if it's a Christian radio station, it plays throughout the week. But some of these radio stations that are secular radio stations or non-Christian radio stations, they'll play a Christian music show on Sunday mornings or whatever. I mean, it's Monday morning praise or whatever, Sunday morning praise. But only on Sundays they'll do this. It's like acceptable. It's politically correct.
Right. Well, we're called, and that's an excellent point, and it's largely, I think, just to address what you're saying, and I want to address it, because we're sharing the gospel. A very small percentage of Christians really share the gospel a lot, even seldom. Very infrequently do they. They keep it to themselves. Why? Because of fear of people coming back and asking them questions that they're not able to answer. So we're taking a part of the sharing of the gospel, and we're taking only one little piece of it that nobody can argue with, that you can just talk to somebody, and we're going to talk about the lead-in and the close. And I think you'll start seeing how the idea of your personal story is when you get to know people and you're interacting with friends and acquaintances and people you just have met, how you doing? What do you do? There are going to be openings to just talk about things of eternity. To just tell your story is so inoffensive. That's what makes a personal testimony, to me, like one of the most effective tools of sharing the gospel.
Hey, what's your name, man?
What's Bill Clark?
Bill, I think we're going to get to that, too. No, that's fine. That's great. Any questions y'all have, please.
This is an open forum.
Said, we want to be really open and kind of laid back here with this approach, but know that we're going to, as we get done with this material we're covering up front, we're going to dive in and dig in to exactly what you're talking about there, among other things.
We're going to do something a little bit different than just having a blank sheet of paper, but if you, and we encourage you to take this seriously, and to, after this workshop, we've got a supplemental handout for you that has example testimonies, the ones that you mentioned back there about early conversions and staying with it. There's example stories, and then there's blank spaces and a whole bunch of fun stuff for you to do afterwards, if you will, and we really, really encourage that. There's some of that here in this handout that is the worksheet. I just want to make sure that we're going to, in a few minutes, really start working on each of our testimonies. When you first start writing it out on a blank sheet of paper, you're going to write it, and you're going to write the beginning, the middle, the end, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to change things, and you're going to do another draft, and you're going to do another draft. The process is really done more effectively with an accountability partner who can evaluate your testimony based on these basic things that need to be in it, the basic framework of it. Well, you didn't share the gospel, so let's go back and let's work on that. And so once you get draft 3, 4, 5, it could be draft 8 or 9, and you don't skimp on that. You really pour into it, because this is the greatest transaction of your whole life, the greatest gift you've ever been given, and it's well worth this huge effort. So now you've written it out, and staying at the bottom of page 3, what you do then, this is very, very helpful, is you take it from your page and you get 3x5 cards, and I actually have 3x5 cards to hand out if you guys want to grab some on your way out as well. But the first thing you do after you got your 8th draft, or a draft on a piece of, on 3 or 4 sheets of paper, you then convert it to 3x5 cards. It's just a method that we've used that's been really helpful over the years that we've done this, and it just works. Mine is basically my story that I wrote out on paper that I transferred to cards, and there's 10 of them. One of the things that you're doing in this initial writing out drafting process is honing it to 4 minutes. It's not to be legalistic. It's just, we've found that it's just a great middle ground to get your story out, like King Agrippa did. It's effective, it's fairly quick, but you add some color and enough to draw people in to the exciting story part. At the end of that process, you know, you're going to be standing up in front of somebody, whether you're doing it now at your church or in a small group or a Bible study, and you'll stand up and you'll practice it with your note cards. At the end of that process, you'll be able to take, it says 6 to 8 bullets. I've done 9. I've done 3 for my before, 3 on how I met Christ, and 3 after. It comes from the basic meat of my story, but it's the framework, and you consider it as pegs on a board that you can hang all the meat and all the other things, but these are the things that are the non-negotiables, the ones that you always mention. You'll keep remembering these, so that when you tell your story, there's a tendency of all of us, and me especially, to go off on rabbit trails and you miss the gospel and you're 30 minutes long and you've lost them. I hesitate to say, but it's harder than it seems to do this, but it's well, well, well worth it. The bullets will make up your 30-second, your 4-minute, your 20-minute. It's the ones that on the 30-second, you don't hang much else on these pegs. So the outline for your story is just like King Agrippa, and it's wonderful to go back and read that on page, top of page 4. Oh, just like Paul before King Agrippa. And
we knew what you meant.
So then we have this lead-in / before, how, and after, with a / close. So there's always a lead-in and a close, and the lead-in is simply just the introduction on how you draw the person in to begin telling your story. And the close is, honestly, to put it in the ideal way, the close would be to have your friend, the listener, pray to receive Christ. Some guidelines, and there's 10 guidelines here for preparing the more specific content. I'm just going to go over a couple. You know, make it sound conversational. Number 3, avoid religious words, phrases, and jargon, like stay away from, you know, born again, washed in the blood, you know, sanctification, those types of things. You want it really conversational. You really want to generalize. You don't need to give people's first and last names. You don't need to give specific colleges or high schools or towns. That's really going to eat away at the meat of the before emptiness, the how, where you weave the gospel in, and the after of what life is like after. Going down to 10, simplify, reduce clutter. So that's what you're going to be doing in your drafting of the first several drafts. If we go to page 5, developing your before, how, and after. Some practical suggestions on developing these different parts of your story. We'll just kind of touch on some of these because this is just, everybody's going to have, some of these are going to apply to various people's lives. On the before, when non-Christians identify with your background, their interests grow. In your before, it's your life story related to what was missing in your spiritual life. Were you feeling you had no peace? Some of these bullets, fear of death, you couldn't shake bad habits, boredom, loneliness, no meaning to life, guilt, something missing, emptiness, no purpose, depression, dissatisfied with life. That gives you kind of a coloring of how you're before, what you focus on. It's not like what your job was and what schools you went to. It's your life in whether you were went to a certain church or whether you were unchurched, etc. So, B, non-Christians may ignore or try to get rid of uncomfortable personal needs. Often their solutions don't work. As you develop your story, you might list positive as well as negative solutions that you tried. Avoiding being graphic or detailed about sinful behavior. You don't want to get salacious about it. They get the idea when you say you struggled with drugs and alcohol or whatever. And by the way, I'm about to do my personal testimony, so you'll get a load of some of that. Marriage, family, sports, fitness. These are some of the things that you might have tried. You thought maybe the emptiness could be filled by a happy marriage or family life or getting into sports or getting in shape and or business, you know, being a success in business or finding your value in work, intimacy, promiscuity, that type of thing. So now the how you met Christ. Did somebody invite you to a church, share the gospel with you at a coffee shop and ask you to pray to receive Christ? How it happened. You kind of get a little specific with that because that draws them in. And then you share the gospel. And I'm going to try to do it to give you an example. And then after, how your life was changed, how some of those things, you go back and address the needs and the unfulfilled things you had in your life. And if you can go back and address how those needs have been met, how your life has changed from the issues you had before and tie those in together, it can be very effective. I was raised in a family. My mother was a Jehovah's Witness. I was the fourth of four kids. My dad was a non-practicing Jesuit Catholic. We went to the Kingdom Hall and passed out watchtowers and awakes door to door as a child. It was a very dysfunctional childhood. My dad was a fairly abusive disciplinarian. My mother was a rager. So it was a scary growing up. And they divorced when I was 13. I lived in a small town and got mixed up with the wrong people. Street gangs and the like. So what I tried to find to raise myself and while my parents were working out their own struggles was I tried to find my value in romantic relationships with women. I tried to find peace because I had no peace growing up. I searched for truth because I didn't know what in the world I was here for and what happens after it's all gone. I had no clue. I knew that I didn't like religion as an answer because it just didn't work out for me. I got into drugs and alcohol pretty heavily as recreationally, and I worked hard and I played hard. I put value in, I want to have a marriage and a family that's going to be, you know, different than my life growing up. That mixed with the drugs and alcohol, I went through two failed marriages, three kids. My third marriage, I ended up having a big party that lasted a couple of days. My third wife was struggling with alcohol. I reached a point in my life that I was on my belly. I had nothing left. I was overwhelmed with a shame that I couldn't describe. I'd never had it before. I thought I was unforgivable in looking back at my life and what I've done, that I was basically worthless, that if my kids knew who I was, my shareholders, I had my own business, knew who I was, be all over. So I told my wife, it's either the alcohol or me. She said, hey, there's re-engage thing as a marriage thing at our church. And we went to it that night. And I saw a couple get up and talk about how they were, you know, big shots in Washington, D.C., how their lives just tumbled into infidelities, promiscuity, and all that type of thing. And I couldn't believe they were admitting that. So that message of brokenness attracted me to go to church the next Sunday. I heard the gospel from our pastor who talked about even his depravity, and I'd never heard that before. And I saw all these people at church whose lives were being transformed and who were openly admitting that, that their lives were just jacked up completely. At that service, I prayed to surrender my life to Christ. I had nothing left. I said, I've made a mess of it, and I give it to you. You take over. You take it from here. I confessed my sins. What I thought was unforgivable, I understood that God loved me in my unforgivable state. He loved me in my state of darkness and sin, but He loved me enough not to leave me there. He pursued me radically through His Son, who took the blame for all the guilt that I should be, have blame on me, and died for me. And that shed blood, and I'm getting it, washed my sins clean. And I was literally felt completely remade, not reconditioned, not patched up, but totally a new person. Galatians 2:20, I had been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, now I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. From that point on, men like Mark, men at my church who were godly men, just swarmed over me. I went through Equipped Disciple, I went through men's Bible studies, I went through, you name it, the church offered, everything it offered, I just absorbed it. From that point on, I put value in my relationship with God. I needed to be part of God's family. I found a peace that transcended all understanding, a joy that I'd never, ever felt in my life. The truth that I searched for, I found that Jesus was that truth. And what happened when I died, I was assured to live in heaven with God forever. So that's my testimony.
Thank you for sharing that, Michael.
You bet.
All right, what we want to do now, gentlemen, we're going to give you an opportunity to jump into some hands-on things. And in particular, if you'll notice on the last page of your handout, you've got a worksheet. And what I would suggest you do is pull that worksheet loose, because I think that what you might find helpful is to refer back to some of the information in the other portion of the handout. But what we'd like for you to do is to spend about 10 minutes and go through and answer some of these questions. Write down your thoughts in response to these questions as they relate to your own story, the before, how, and after. And then what we'd like to do, after we give you about 10 minutes to do that, we'll open it back up, we'll discuss some things, just see where we go from there. So 10 minutes, and then we'll jump back in.
Hey guys, I'll go ahead and interrupt you. No worries if you hadn't been able to put down every thought that you wanted to get on paper just yet. And the idea here is this would all be a starting point for us and something that we can leave here with and continue to work on. What we wanted to do is spend some time before we do get out of here talking about some of the thoughts that you did have relative to your story to this point. What I'd like to do is to just ask you, you know, what are some initial thoughts here that you have about putting some of your story down on paper, maybe just by show of hands, who here has done that before to some extent? Okay, and that's good. So the rest of you, this is kind of a first time to actually be considering your story and thinking about it and putting it down on paper. What are your thoughts initially about taking that approach?
I think to write something down forces you to choose between. I mean, you can have many thoughts in your head, but you have to actually pick one or two, you know, to become a word, to become a phrase, to become a sentence.
And I like that. And I'm going to repeat because we're recording here, and I want to be able to pick up the comments that y'all make. But yeah, I like that thought. It forces you to actually give stronger consideration to some really key points within your story. Is that what I hear you saying, Eric? That
maybe not so much key points. Well, you know, it's like what, you know, there's lots of thoughts that will swim around in your head. You know, does this tell it best, or does this tell
right.
it best, or did that really happen, or does anybody care?
Absolutely, right. Yeah. That's an excellent point, because there are some things that take the story forward better than the others, you know. And the story is Jesus is our hero, right? Right.
And I think about that too. And Michael and I were having this conversation earlier today. Is I can see where my story of Christ's work in my life, it's this thing that's out there, and it may be so big, I don't even know where to start, how to get my arms around that in order to share that in a real easily understandable way for someone else. And I feel like that this format and a worksheet and kind of breaking it down into its smaller pieces allows us to do that, to better get our hands around what that story is.
Right, and this is a beginning, but when you go back and you really want to draft it out, you'll be able to bring in those points and then cross out the ones and really kind of explore that further. Roger, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, as men, we like to keep it simple. And this just, I'll take a to-do list from my wife any day, you know.
Really?
Yeah, stand up in the house.
Right, exactly. Break it down.
Right. So it's real simple. You just, you know, you got it all listed out here. You got cheat sheet. So you got it all.
Right. Yeah, and I like that too. Yeah, I think guys are real good about wanting to keep things simple.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I appreciate that. Hopefully it is helpful for that.
I was just about to say, I find when I type something out, I commit it to memory a whole lot better because, you know, you look at it and you revise it, and once you've written something down, I'm sure it's in your head a lot better. It's organized as a thought. It's not just jumbled out. You know what you're going to say, as to where if you have the thoughts in your head, but once you type it out, it's kind of systematic and ordered.
That's an excellent point. To actually write it out helps me to remember it better. I mean, it's like the scripture memory. Anything that I want to remember in a more clear-cut fashion, it always helps to write it out. Good point.
That's kind of what I was going to say, but more of a scientific approach. They say when you write something out and when you plan to write, and for example, an essay like the introduction and then the paragraphs, that information, instead of going to a thinking and memory part of your brain, goes to another different part of your brain that has much less information and much more capacity. So it's like changing from a 3 gigabyte USB to like a 2 terabyte huge hard drive that has a huge memory just by writing something up. So if you write something out, it'll actually like be drilled into your memory and it'll stay.
Yeah, and the idea is to not memorize word for word. Yeah. And that's why it's really important, I think, to distill. These bullets are great, but not until after you've done the writing. And then you can just remember those key 6 or 8 or 9 bullets.
And keeping it conversational, too. I mean, that's another Absolutely. Part of what you're saying. Yes, Sean?
I like how y'all have this break this down, because it also forces us to think, what was the cause of my emptiness and my longing? And what was the result of that cause? To me, like for my instance, I didn't know, I haven't really thought much on what was the cause and what actually was missing before then. Because
yeah.
I know there was salvation, I was saved, but whatever was I saved from?
Yeah. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we had a couple other questions earlier, and I'm not sure if we've been able to, at least to this point, answer that in a satisfactory way for you. So
well,
I want to revisit that.
I've been overanalyzing this to death, but
you guys wouldn't necessarily remember, but several years ago I came to this exact same place to do the exact same thing I'm trying to do today and asked, let's figure out how to get, you know, my story, if it were. And I have a story, and I'm thinking about it, and the fact that basically it's a challenge, and it's meant, the story is meant to be told to Christians who are afraid to tell their story. And so this story that I have, that I've developed, basically it is to challenge a Christian who's afraid to tell their story.
And that's simply what it's designed to do, totally. So I've been trying to think of how I'm going to get that accomplished. You know, the last time I left here, I was so discouraged, not because of what you guys did, it was because I thought, you know, when you get saved and you're in the sixth grade, there was not a lot of sinning that went on before. Now, there's been plenty since.
But yeah.
How does that relate?
Yeah.
And how does that relate? So what I did is I took a business, something that happened 4 or 5 years ago, and now it has developed, and the end of the story is now actually happening as we speak. So how does something that happened 4 or 5 years ago, and you make it into a short, and I like the 4-minute deal very well, very, very well. How do you tell that story in a way that becomes very, very effective? So the way I start my deal out is I ask a question, or I put a lead in, and I says, you know, remind me sometime, and I will tell you my Gideon story. And that's what I leave right there. I just stop right there to see if they're interested in hearing at that time.
If that's going to trigger a question from them.
You know, if it piques any interest. Now, to a lot of Christians, that will, your Gideon story, yeah, my Gideon story. And so I lead him with a question, and then, of course, I'm always excited about telling the story, because it deals with my business, the cause and effect, and my main concern of what I'm hearing today is, am I making it Jesus the hero?
One thing that you can take away from here too is, and Michael alluded to it a little bit a while ago, is the lead in to our story, and I like the way you approach that as an option for a lead in. And be sure before you take off out of here, get that supplemental material that we've got, because I think it might there's a conversion format in there that might be helpful for you in responding some to that question you've got as well.
Right. It's you know, I left here the last time and said, man, I don't have a cool story like you guys have. And yet, when I get through with this, it has left me with, everybody has a story.
Right.
And so, and it can be at different times. And so this, the way I do this is, it's meant for a challenge. Are you telling your story?
Yeah.
And it's really a cool deal. It doesn't focus on Gideon, it focuses on the 300.
Okay.
Well,
you made a comment there, and I think that's kind of an interesting thought that maybe we can explore for just a second. When you said not everybody has an interesting story, and I don't think that's necessarily what you meant, but I think that sometimes we can have that perception. You know, I don't have that Paul road to Damascus wow moment in my story, so how can I make it interesting? How can I express it in a way that's exciting? And so I'll just throw that out there. Any thoughts that we might have on that? Yeah, Andy.
Well, the thing is, to me, a testimony, if it works for you, God can use it. I mean, I wasn't in prison or, you know, leader of a terrorist group. But the thing is, because the Holy Spirit used a set of circumstances in my life with pride, I think you can relate to it. I think that's what you said here is, what are the general issues that non-Christian use? Because ultimately, it's not a debate. It's not a law lawyer in a court trial. The Holy Spirit just uses the one thing we know about ourselves. And
you know what? This is not a convincing tool, although it is designed for unbelievers. But it's not a convincing tool. It's a conversation starter. It's a conversation starter. So,
meant to hopefully lead to a conversation where you can really dig into the truth of the gospel and share that. And you know, we use it at times to lead into a sharing of the bridge illustration.
Well, Mark, one of the things that I suggest is, A, who are you wanting to witness to, A, Who's your audience?
This is specifically, and I think we covered it in the very beginning,
right,
for unbelievers.
Right. And so, in my case, most of my audience and who I would have a sphere of influence over, possibly, in my case, it's business people. So I want to tell my story primarily to business people. A lot of people would walk away from here today going, oh, good grief, that's not a story. You know, but to a business guy, it probably is going to hit home. Because yeah, he's probably had some of those same, and it's like what y'all were talking about earlier about when you're taking the things that we tried, things we failed at, all those things. For business people, there's a lot of similarities.
Absolutely.
in your fighting the fight to try to run your business. So again, I think I've recognized and tried to develop it in a way that I'm looking for a target audience specifically. I've adapted it a little bit for Christians in why you would want to tell your story. You know, are you telling your story? It is a challenge. It becomes a challenge anyway.
Well, and I think the fact that the purpose here, I mean, there is a great place to share your story of grace with Christians, to encourage them, and there's a whole space of that. And this is a perfect way to build that. This is the same story that you're going to tell to Christians and non-Christians, but you know, you'll change it up a little bit in the beginning and the after, because the Christians have accepted Christ. They've got salvation. But man, to be able to, and it's happened to me once, I have been blessed to share my story with someone who had very similar struggles, who I then drew the bridge illustration out, and they prayed to receive Christ. And that was, my goodness, the harvest that is unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. And you may not ever have that, and I didn't think I would ever have that, because I'd really been sharing it with everybody, like to the point where it was like, okay, obnoxious almost, but, we're called to share it with gentleness and respect. But I'm just so amazed every day.
That works out a lot.
I'm so amazed every day that I wake up that I am who I am, and not, I'm a new person in Christ, and where I was. Unbelievable. I'm just totally blown away. So, when you develop your story and you take this time and you work it out, man, I think that God will use you. He'll intersect people who He wants to bring to Him into your life so that you can be usable.
So guys, on that, and before we get up and get out of here, we want to leave you with a couple of action items. And so what we would really encourage you to do and hope that you do is to take what you've got here, what you've started. This is a starting point. But continue to work on it and continue to develop and enhance what you've got. To do that, that's one thing. And like we said before, we've got some supplemental material in the back to help you to continue to develop and enhance your story. Because the thing is, your story's always changing. And so we're constantly working and fine-tuning our story so that we can do, then this is the second action item, that's share it with others. And so what I would like to encourage you with on that is to take this and take it back home, and if you're married, share it with your wife. Let her take a look at it and talk about it with you. Or if you've got a brother or a best friend or a coworker or somebody you're really intimately close with, just consider talking through some of your story with someone like that. With the idea that the way we approach this is our missionary field, our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, to the ends of the earth, that's an ever-widening circle. And so we look at sharing Christ initially with those that are in our Jerusalem, our intimate circle, looking to expand that circle as we go out and share the love of Christ with the world.
Mark,
Can I share something?
Yeah, please do.
I was here last year for my first time, and I've been saved since I was a little, like 9. And my story is basically being a Christian, straying away, back and forth. You know, I've always known Christ. Not so well as I should. Real quick. Last year's meeting gave me so much encouragement, hope, direction, and I made some headway throughout the year.
It's awesome.
But nothing like I wanted to. And I've even started the process of my story written down and whatnot. I wanted some better tools. That's the reason I'm here now, a little more direction.
Yep.
I didn't go to this class. But, long story short, there's so many guys here that I met last year that I want to be come back this year and have a testimony, you know, of what God used through last year's meetings throughout the year.
Yeah.
And He did somewhat. But I was embarrassed. We need to tell our story anyway. I run into those guys, and within 5 minutes, we were all encouraged by the story I did have to tell.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I wanted it to be. And he said something about interesting or not interesting. It wasn't what I thought God wanted it to be. But the three of us, within 5 minutes, had all been strengthened and encouraged by my having told what story there was.
Praise God. That is the best testimony of our testimonies.
There's five of us many times instead of because of us.
Exactly.
And to me, that's a very important thing. In spite of me, because...
What, and you know, real quick, and we talked about the first step that we take in developing our story is to pray. And you know, even when we have opportunities to share that verbally with someone else, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask, God, help me get out of the way, and You take over. And by the power of Your Spirit within me, allow me to share this truth with somebody. And so,
Byron,
thank you so much for opening up and
sharing
that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that is such an inspiring story that you just told, because I'm very embarrassed of my story, and I've messed it up several times, because I try to give reasons and excuses as to why I went off the deep end for so many years and ruined my life. And what I understand now is that's not who I am. So I can talk about that person because it's not me anymore. So thank you for sharing that. That was
awesome. Yeah, thank you guys. This has been a great time. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've gotten something out of it. If you would, please drop off your evaluation forms as you're walking out.
Just in that box with those pages.
Michael and I will hang here for a little bit if you want to talk anymore or have any other questions about this. But we'll take off. Michael, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
Father, we praise You first of all because You are worthy of all praise. We are so blessed to be here at this camp this weekend and to share our desire to seek Your face and to get closer to You, Father, and to know You more through Your Son Christ. With all of these men seeking the same thing, we are so blessed by You, Father. Your gifts are continuing to amaze us every moment. We just pray that we go out and take the things we've learned, Father, from You to just... really work on our story so that there are people out there who are longing, who are suffering, who are seeking and are just lost. And we're Your hands and feet, Father. Prepare us so that we may be used by You to just help build Your kingdom, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.